What are we made of? Why do I get sick? How can I live a more balanced and whole life? These are just a few of the questions explored each week by naturopath, medical intuitive, and clairvoyant, Dr. Rita Louise on Just Energy Radio. Explore your possibilities every Friday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Join us at JustEnergyRadio.com.
Be caught bored waiting for something to go bump in the night? Listen to the Paranormal Broadcast System with Brad, Brandon, Todd, and Paul.
Well, hello, Mr. Phantom Man.
Listen to some great interviews with some amazing guests that run the gamut from ghost hunting groups across the country to paranormal personalities in the media. First, let's be serious for a moment. Then let's have some fun! We've got it all covered. Tune in and listen to intriguing interviews with our hosts from L.A. Spirits and the Louisiana Spectral Research Center. Then kick back and listen to us try to be funny with some crazy Cajun. And some other guys, too. This is no kids' show, folks. It's the Paranormal Broadcast System. Listen to us poke fun at ourselves. It's funnier that way. You can find us at www.lagghosts.com. That's www.laghost.com.
You are listening to Ghostly Time with your hosts, Doug and Scott L.
Camille realized she was an alien abductee in 1996 and was able to stop her abductions. She wrote for UFO Magazine from 2000 to 2005 while living in Beverly Hills and covering the Los Angeles County MUFON meetings for the magazine. She has traveled to Roswell, New Mexico, and to England to make sense of the UFO and crop circle phenomena. She currently lives in Tucson, Arizona, and is active with the MUFON group in Pima County. I think it's Pima County. Maybe Pima County. Camille and her husband, astrologer Jeff Harmon, produce educational films about astrology. Camille has appeared on numerous TV, radio, and web shows and has spoken for MUFON groups in Tucson, Arizona, and Orange County, California. Camille, welcome to the show. How are you doing tonight?
Thanks. Hi. I'm doing great.
Sorry, we had some technical difficulties on the break, so you kind of just blew. You just kind of hopped on the line and said, okay, quiet. We're going on right now.
I know. Nice to meet you.
we have both you. Jeff's on the line also, isn't he?
Uh-huh.
Jeff, you there?
Or he will be.
Oh, he will be? Okay.
He heard you say you were talking to me first.
Okay. That's perfectly cool. We'll do it like that.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, Jeff.
Okay, all right.
Hail, hail, the gang go here.
Well, no, basically, you know, it says here, obviously, the first thing, I mean, what people will always want to hear about, especially in your case, is alien abduction. This is a huge thing. We've talked to a few people on the show in the past about this. I'm wondering, what I always like to ask people, and I don't know how much detail you can give us on this. I mean, you were obviously abducted or something like that. Who knows what? Yeah. I mean, the details. I'm wondering what details you remember from something like an experience like this.
Yeah, let me put that out on the table because my memories. I'm one of those people who had physical evidence and. My only memories were of the sleep paralysis attack in the night that I would get in my bed. And at one point when that happened to me, I also heard a voice call my name in my left ear while I was in the paralyzed state in my bed. That totally freaked me out because that had never happened before during my lifelong experiences with sleep paralysis. This was back in 95. I had just moved to L.A. from New Orleans. And I had just developed an interest in UFOs very recently. It all kind of escalated very quickly, and I had my first sighting in L.A., and these attacks in my bed, what are called sleep paralysis, and I was also having a lot of physical symptoms that were very strange for me. I had no menstrual cycle for 3 months, and all these symptoms of what I understood to be pregnancy symptoms, mm-hmm. although I'd never been pregnant before, but I knew enough to know that's what it was adding up to look like. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, I didn't go to the drugstore and get a pregnancy test, and I always used to do that. In the past, you know, if I was a week late or something, I'd run to the drugstore and, you know, because I was on the pill and I thought, shouldn't be a problem. But for some reason, I delayed and delayed and delayed, and I had no menstrual cycle for 3 months when this was going on. And then I had this attack in the night, heard this little voice call my name. And that was the same week as the sighting, which was my first sighting. It was a daylight sighting over L.A. with my ex-boyfriend
mm-hmm.
while we were walking the dog. And then everything came back to normal in January of 96. You know, with my cycle and all that. So I got really suspicious. And the more I looked into it, I also, having reported the sighting, I started going to MUFON meetings. And I was learning more. And it was when I heard Kim Carlsberg speak, who's an abductee, and I heard her talk, and she had a book out. And it was a little checklist in the back. And when I started looking at her checklist, I was pretty freaked out because I had so many of the symptoms. And I just started, you know, kind of putting two and two together and going, okay, am I one of these people? And I started working with Barbara Lamb, who's a regression therapist.
Uh-huh.
And we did our first regression targeting this night of the sleep paralysis attack to see what it was. And I had this full-blown alien abduction memory.
Mm-hmm.
It was very traumatic. It was very emotional. I was taken out of my bed through the ceiling in a very solid blue beam of light that was kind of a turquoisey color blue. And then the next thing I know, I don't remember seeing a spaceship or anything like that. I was surrounded by this soft white light, and I was on a table, and there were these beings on my left that all looked the same, and I was terrified.
Obviously. Oh, no kidding, really?
yeah, and, you know, it proceeded. It was a very lab rat situation. I was not having big dialogue, okay? Mm-hmm. It was like I was on the table terrified, de-chattering, and there proceeded to happen a fetus removal. It was very traumatizing, and I felt very, very bereft of this fetus. And, you know, I had never, like I said, I've never been pregnant. I've never had an abortion. Mm-hmm. I've never been sexually abused, you know, certainly to the point where it would be a screen memory for that. And none of that made sense. So I had to go home with this little tape of my session to my poor boyfriend, you know, and play this for him. And he was like, oh, my God. You know? And I had to tell my mom, and my mother was like, oh, my God. My mother said, Camille, I can't handle this. Why can't you be gay like your brother? I can be gay. So sorry, Mom. And it was very upsetting to my world. I mean, I was a straight-A student. I have a master's degree in theater. I had moved to L.A. to be an actress. I had my SAG card. I had an agent. I had a day job. Everything was great.
Mm-hmm.
And this just took over my life. And, I mean, my boyfriend and I broke up over it, obviously. You know, we tried for a while, but it just didn't last. And, you know, it changes your whole world, your whole circle of friends. Then I had other incidences happen. I had a night where I dreamed I got bitten by a spider, and I woke up and I had this little incision on my shoulder at the same spot where I dreamed a spider had bitten me. And the weirdest thing happened. I would feel this, like, bee sting feeling there, and then I would get this jolt of electricity down my arm. And it would just happen. You know, every few days I would just have this feeling. Another thing that happened was I woke up three nights in a row at 4 a.m. sharp with the digital clock saying 4:00, and I was like, what is this about? I didn't hear a noise. Why am I awake? Mm-hmm. And on the third morning of that, I looked down at my leg when I was getting in the shower, and I had this bleeding, crusted over, triangular puncture wound array on my calf.
Oh, my.
And I just freaked, and I ended up finding one like that in a book and meeting other people that had the same little array, you know, over the years. And my dentist found an object in my mouth that was not there before when he worked on the same tooth. He freaked out. He wrote me a whole letter on his stationery saying he does not know what this round object was. And I did a regression to that, and I got a military abduction scenario, which is a whole other can of worms. But, you know, so for me, as far as my conscious memories, I don't have them. I only have hypnosis memories. And I want to make sure people understand, though, there are many, many abductees who do have conscious memory, who don't need hypnosis. So my case is unusual. And I'm kind of thankful for it because I think having conscious memories of it would be a whole other level of fear. And I don't know, I'm just actually glad I have to go lay on a couch and get hypnotized, actually, because I think it's the only way I could have handled it, actually.
Well,
and anyway, then I made it stop. And now I can get into that unless you need to take a break. But
No. Well, what I was going to say.
What I was going to say is,
I mean, it sounds like you're alluding that you don't have these memories in your conscious memory where you can just call it up whenever you want and ponder on it, I guess.
Yeah.
This is something that you have to regress to actually, you know, get an idea of what may have happened. I'm wondering, you know, just making the assumption that there are extraterrestrial beings that are actually abducting people like yourself and doing these experiences. I'm wondering if this is something that they know about, obviously, and that they know you would lose your mind or you'd have a very difficult time coping if you were able to remember or access these memories at will, right?
That's a great question. And I always tell people that I think everyone is given what they can handle, you know, hopefully. That's true. I mean, I guess it's not true because I guess a lot of people get institutionalized and go crazy over paranormal things that happen to them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not one of those, you know. But I like to think that we are given what we can handle, and then we're given more, and then we're given more. So for me, that was my path, you know. And, I mean, I have friends that have seen people shapeshift into reptilians right in front of their eyes. If that happened to me, I would totally, you know, that would be a whole other level of just having swallowed the blue pill.
Yeah, I would definitely, at absolute least, I'd definitely clean my glasses just to make sure I actually saw that. You know, that'd be something.
You know, and when people want to argue with me that I wasn't abducted, that it's some kind of a dream or a this or a that, I say, well, then, who put the triangles on me? Who put the BB in my tooth? Who put the slice on my shoulder? You know, and why does this all add up? You know, and why is it happening to so many people? And we're all telling the same stories. Like, I remember meeting this lady in Phoenix when I was coming back from the Roswell 50th anniversary and back in 97. And we described the same kind of beings. And it was pretty rare because I hadn't met anyone yet who had described the same kind of beings that I had seen until her. And then another freaky thing happened. I was telling her how this one tall being was standing down by my right foot while these three little guys were around my other corners. And I was so repulsed, and I was screaming and cussing at them. And then the one little guy by the left side of my head started stroking my forehead. And actually, I didn't tell her that. I just said, and he put his hand on me, and I totally calmed down. It was the weirdest thing. I just said that. I didn't say where. I just said, he put his hand on me. And then she said, oh, what did he do, rub your forehead? And I went, oh, yes. Oh, yeah, that's what they do, and they want to calm you down. And, I, you know, like she was all jaded about it. She knew that routine. And, you know, you talk to people. I mean, I've been in two, I guess they're called support groups, you know. I've been in two of those. And it's just astounding. See, to me, this is like epidemic, because once you come out of the closet and you meet so many people, it's happened to you, it seems, you know, your whole frame of reference changes. And it's not unusual to you. You know, now to me, it's just there's so many people this has happened to.
Mm-hmm.
And they just don't have the right careers to be able to come out, you know, like I don't have a job to worry about. All the jobs, well, that's a problem too, though, because all the jobs I took after this happened to me were very much beneath me. So there is a problem with us in that we tend to, our self-esteem gets really screwed up sometimes. And for me, it was like I didn't want to put myself in a position of, you know, some great position socially or career-wise that could be taken away from me, you know, like I'd heard happen to certain friends. And so I kept doing all these crappy jobs that, you know, they wouldn't care if they found out I was abducted by aliens. Or if I got fired, I wouldn't care. So it can really interfere, you know, with your life in many, many ways.
Well, you hear about that over and over again with people who, you know, I've seen special after special or read news report or read articles, and it's always the same thing. And this person wants to remain anonymous. They want to tell their story, but they want to remain completely anonymous, whatever medium of media it is, and mainly it's because of their professional careers that if they were to come out with this with their name and their all their information, they would most likely lose their jobs. And that's a real sad thing, too. I mean, I hate to see...
It is, because there's so many of us that are very normal mainstream people that, you know, function, and we're not wackos. And that's why I came forward. I said, look, I look like a normal person. I'm educated. I can speak in public. So I'm going to go be out there, you know, and I'm writing a book, and I'm trying to do my little part to be a piece of the puzzle, because I have shelves full of books that people have written, you know, with their piece of the puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to add to that, because we don't know what the heck's going on. It's very complicated.
That's very much with any type of paranormal study, the stuff that we do, you know, primarily ghost hunting here. That's what we're all doing, I think, with Ghostly Talk here. We're all adding pieces to the puzzle to a greater body of evidence. Doug, are you still over there, man?
Oh, yeah. I'm absolutely fascinated. How often do you think that you got abducted, and why only in L.A., or did it happen before you had moved as well?
It's interesting. I don't know about previous ones, but I suspect I've had previous ones, because some of the storylines from my childhood lend themselves to speculating that it was happening earlier. And that would be that I used to have very severe nosebleeds. I had to have my nose cauterized. I would wake up with blood all over the pillow. You know, and I grew up in Louisiana. There's a lot of humidity there. That's not a problem. And I had paranormal fears as a child. I wasn't afraid of people at all. I was only afraid of the dark and the closet and we lived next to the woods. And I remember I used to walk through the woods to piano lessons every week. And then one day I wouldn't go. Something scared me in the woods. And I just told Mom, you know, you have to drive me to the piano. She said, okay. So she drove me around. And I don't know what happened that day. And I'm very intrigued. I haven't done a lot of hypnosis. I've only done like 4 sessions. It takes a long time to recover from each session. And I kind of just got to the point, since I made my abduction stop happening, that I kind of just said, you know what, I'm just not going to go digging anymore. That's the point I reached, because it was just too much. Go ahead.
Bonnie? I want to know how you made them stop.
Okay. I met this woman in L.A., and she was actually running a little ad in the Whole Life Times that said she could stop alien abduction. And I thought, oh, wow, I'm going to see her. I'll pay her. I don't care. You know, do your thing. So I went to this lady, And her name was Marie Angelique Raphael, and I cannot find her anymore. I mean, I don't know where she is. I don't know if she's still alive. But she was this very sweet, blonde-haired, kind of new-agey lady, real sweet. You know, she had crystals everywhere, and I was like, oh, God, is this really going to work? And, well, you know, she just was so stereotypical. I don't know. I just thought, please work, you know. So she said that this had happened to her, and a lot of other bad things had happened to her. And she said she was working with angels to help people sever the contracts they had made with these beings. And I thought, well, okay, it sounds good. Bring in the lawyers. Let's cut the, you know. So she worked with these angelic beings. And specifically, it was Archangel Michael and Saint Germain, she said, for whatever that's worth. And we did this little prayer. And she said, Camille no longer wishes to work with these beings. And I stated that. And, you know, it was just a little prayer thing. And it never happened again.
Wow.
So, I think that's all it took for me, you know?
You didn't, that was it. That's all you had to do.
That was it. That was it.
You didn't have to, like, sacrifice a goat over the moon or something? It seems like a pretty complicated thing to get out of. I mean, it seems like you'd have to do a lot of work. It's a very simple.
I agree. And a lot of people, they've tried similar things and they've not succeeded. So I don't know why it worked for me. The other thing is, when you guys brought up, why do you think, or how do I know, like, in other words, why did I start to figure it out back in 1995, 96?
Mm-hmm.
And I think what was happening, because later on when I met my husband, the astrologer, he, you know, I asked him to go back and look. At that time, I was like, what the hell was going on in my chart at that time? Because it was so crazy and life-changing. And he was able to see in my chart that this would come to the surface. I had a lot of stuff going on in my 12th house. I had Saturn in the 12th house, and I had a progressed moon in the 12th house. And so the 12th house is the hidden, the subconscious, any kind of secret stuff about yourself in the 12th house. And Saturn is the planet of karma and structure. It's like it goes in there and it gets to work, and it brings stuff up that, you know, is hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called the Saturn return. I was like 28, 29 years old when this happened. And the progressed moon there, too, would be emotionally, I would be in the 12th house dealing with subconscious issues like that. So it's interesting. I once, you know, for your purposes of dealing with ghosts and all, I once sat in on a great conversation between Daryl Sims, who's an abduction researcher from Texas. He's great. Called himself the Alien Hunter, and he's a big authority on implants and all kinds of things. And he was talking with a guy named Barry Taft, who is a ghost guy. And Barry Taft lives in L.A. And
yeah.
He was the researcher that the movie The Entity was based upon.
Yeah.
He worked with UCLA. He had a grant to actually study hauntings and such. And they got together and they were comparing notes. And there's so much crossover with hauntings and abduction as far as the symptoms. You know, you have a lot of electrical effects that can happen to the people. You have things moving around the room. And it seems that his conclusions were that hauntings happen very often to people who are highly emotional. That could be teenagers because they have all their hormones raging.
Oh, yeah.
It could be people that are emotionally unstable for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems that, you know, these entities feed on that energy, and it gives them some kind of power. And I think the same thing can happen with the ETs in that they seem to come up for people, or at least people awaken to them when, you know, there's emotional stuff going on, perhaps. I don't know. There seems to be some crossover between the two fields.
It seems like, you know, and maybe there is something, maybe you open some door in your mind when you are in a certain emotional state. Maybe some type of chemical reaction happens when you fire
like
up something
the DMT,
in your mind.
Right. Yeah. Maybe the DMT gets produced. Who knows? Because it seems to be a recurring theme. And also, I noticed, I used to be a big Anne Rice fan when I lived in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
I was just crazy about Anne Rice books. And I'd go to the balls every year, the big Halloween ball. And when I this abduction stuff came up, I started thinking about my Anne Rice fixation and how her characters are kind of similar to ETs in some ways. And the whole vampire phenomenon is very similar. Because you've got this thing that comes in the night, well, in the traditional vampire story, you have this thing that comes to your bedroom in the night.
Mm-hmm.
It can turn into mist, right, and then solidify, you know, in the room.
Mm-hmm.
It has hypnotic eyes, right? The aliens do that to people, too.
Uh-huh.
There's a sexual connotation. They're either having sex with people or there's a sexual you know, energy of some kind exchanged.
Yeah.
They leave marks on your body in the morning, and then you feel tired and like your life is changing, and then you start to feel these weird allegiances with them. And that's another thing that happens with the ETs, is I started finding myself saying things like, oh, humans, oh, earthlings, oh. I was like, what is that all about? Why am I aligning myself?
I'm with you on that, sister. I've been saying that for a very long time, actually. It's with these human beings. They're all stupid. I can't take them anymore.
It's a wonderfully exciting, you know, thing to be involved in. And I enjoyed writing for UFO Magazine. I enjoyed going to England to see the crop circles. There's so much to get into. I can't talk all night. I got to let Jeff come on and talk.
What
else do you guys want to know that relates to ghosts?
Chris, you got a question?
Yeah, actually, I'm kind of curious about something. You said you had 4 past life regressions?
No, I said I had 4 regressions.
4 regressions? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Not past life. Well, there's a ghost hunter talking right there.
Were these all before you managed to stop the abductions?
Let me try to remember that. No, there was at least one that happened afterward. Yeah, and then there was another regression I had that I can kind of give you the short version, but when I told you I started feeling this alliance with the aliens, mm-hmm. that was very confusing to me. And I went to Barbara and I said, you know, what is this? Why do I miss? Who do I miss? I felt like this longing, like I was connected to some other group. And I said, but I don't think I missed those guys that had me on the table. So who do I miss? Let's figure this out. So we did a session and we targeted that. Mm-hmm. And what came up was this huge out-of-body experience where I was up out looking at Earth, and I was a blue light, and Earth was spinning and spinning, and I didn't want to go, and I was crying and freaking out. And these beings appeared next to me that were white light, very, you know, diaphanous. They didn't really have form. And I just, as soon as I saw them, I was just weeping and weeping with recognition, and, you know, they're my home, they're my family, and I was just losing it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they were telling me stuff like, you have to go to Earth, the Earth needs you, and, you know, all this stuff. And it was very emotional. And so I don't know what they were. I mean, some people would call them angels. Some people would say a higher self. Some people would say good aliens. I don't know what they were. But that really was also another huge transformational event. You know, it was like the flip side of an abduction memory. It was like extreme ecstasy.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave me all of this peace about, you know, that we're more than our bodies. Because when I came back into my body, I was like screaming, like I was a sofa being stuffed into a pillowcase. And it was a very visceral feeling of being bigger than I am and being contained and cloistered in the body and just rebelling against it, like, ugh, this is horrible, you know. And so that was a good experience under hypnosis that was totally unexpected, very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the image they gave me was that they're shooting love down at the planet all the time, and we're walking around with umbrellas. And they're like, it's like a video game. We're like, we're right here. We're trying to give you all this love and energy. Because when you're with them, you feel like this ecstatic information and love. It's like all the good stuff. And they were like, you know, here we are. We're just trying to get to you guys. You're walking around with umbrellas, and you don't know we're here.
Well, that's a really profound way to look at it, too, Camille. Mm-hmm. The one thing, we're going to take a break here in a second, and we're going to talk to Jeff after the break.
Okay.
But one thing I want to, before we go to break, I want to leave people with this. If you, we had Stanton Freeman on the show, God.
Oh, I love him.
It was years ago. Mm-hmm. Now, we should have him on again pretty soon.
Yeah, we should.
And one thing that stuck with me ever since when we had this conversation with him, God, this was like 2003, it was a long time ago. The one thing he said that stuck with me is, and this kind of ties in what we were talking about here, Camille, Stan's like, you know, he's like, I imagine if, and I can't quote him exactly, but I can get close. He's like, I imagine if I was a UFO or an alien, you know, and I was cruising around and I went by Earth, you know, this is what I would report back to home base about what he saw, you know, what I noticed or I observed on the Earth. The being,
yeah.
And then he says, the beings on the planet are aggressive, warlike creatures that seem to be going and battling each other at all times on the planet. There seems to be a high degree of smog and types of environmental problems. I think you get the point.
Yeah.
It seems
like, Yeah, like that would make them want to land on the White House lawn.
Well, exactly, you know, and I've heard other people say the same thing about that, you know, comedians and stuff I've heard. They're like, you wonder why these UFOs, they just don't land, like you just said, on the White House front lawn. Well, look at what we're doing to each other.
I know. We shoot at them. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Why would you want to deal with that? Let's take a quick break, though, because Camille, thank you so much for sharing
that
with us. That was really
flew by.
Oh, yeah, it totally flew by. In the next half hour, we're going to – Jeff's on the line, too. Say hi, Jeff.
Hey there, how are you?
Jeff's been like, oh my God. We're going to talk with Jeff in the last half hour of the show and talk about, you know, I can't even get into it right now. We need to take a break because I'm totally flustered still.
I understand.
This is Ghostly Talk. We'll be right back after this.
For more information, visit ghostlytalk.com.
Dearest friends, do you ever wonder, who am I? Why am I here? What is the meaning of life? Why do I keep repeating the same patterns, and how can I change them? Why am I free from being able to have the life that I've always dreamed of, and what is stopping me from having this? How do I meditate? What is an aura, and how do I see one? How can I come to a sense of well-being physically and spiritually, always? How can I remain in a state of absolute love, that soulful love, felt and expressed from within the heart of the soul, or we may say unconditional love, bliss, peace, and spiritual oneness in life continuously? Dr. Patty Diamond, Lady Diamond, in co-creation with Spirit, shows you the path through the new book called Stepping into Spiritual Oneness, Spiritual Remembrance of the Soul Through Life Experience, available at Diamond Lady Publishing, www.diamondladypublishing.net.
keep shaking this ball, and all I get is the number 8. Where's the snow? I told my psychic I wanted to know if I was going to win the lottery, and she asked me for the numbers. The death card keeps showing up in this deck. Maybe I should get a reflector on my scooter. I keep dreaming about frogs leaping into my bed. This book says I'm just horny. Having a bad day at the Wheel of Fortune? KarmaCast has answers. Check out KarmaCast.com for show listings and times. KarmaCast.com is a division of Mayhem Media.
Munchplosion! How's that done, right?
Yeah, you see, I was right. It's the poltergeist. It's making him float.
Get a priest! Get a vicar! I believe in God!
Listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts, Doug and Scott L.
Jeff Harmon is a professional astrologer with clients all over the world. He recently located from Beverly Hills to Tucson, Arizona. Jeff utilizes both ancient and modern techniques, including Vedic. I think that's how I pronounced it. I probably screwed it up. Vedic, traditional, and Kabbalistic astrology. He offers astrolocation astrology for help with making decisions about where to live. He practices electrical astrology to help people choose auspicious times for important events like weddings, surgery, and opening a business. He offers horary astrology, an ancient way of answering a client's specific important questions by casting a chart for the moment the question is asked. Jeff has appeared on many TV, radio, and web shows, and has presented his work with many groups, including IONS and the American Society of Dowsers and the Association of Celebrity Personal Assistants. Now that I've completely slaughtered that bio, I'd like to welcome... Go ahead, Bonnie.
And his website is www.jeffharmon.com.
Jeff, welcome to the show. How are you doing tonight?
Great, thanks.
It's really good to have you on. On the break, and I guess we should do this because Camille, obviously, she's on the line too. Camille, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Camille mentioned, you know, you guys are obviously married, right?
Yeah.
And I guess it was a really cute story of how you guys met, and it had to be mentioned on the air. So do you want to tell her, or does Camille want to tell
her? Yeah, sure, I'll tell her.
Okay.
I was out, I was living in Beverly Hills at the time, and I used to go out on my motorcycle late at night. I just like to go for a ride down the PCH. And I was up in the mountains in Malibu, and I came down because I was out of gas, and I stopped at this little gas station. And I saw this girl pumping gas with a bumper sticker that says, "I love England." And I don't know why, I've never done this before, but I'm filling up my motorcycle, and I just looked over and said, "What part of England?" And she said, "I like Wiltshire." She said, "I like the crop circles." I said, "Oh, really?" I said, "I like the crop circles, too." And then all of a sudden, we knew common people like Jim Delatelso and many others, and we struck up a conversation, exchanged cards, and then about a month later, I got this phone call with this cute little voice on the other end saying, "Hey, remember me?" I said, "Yeah." Together for coffee.
Mm.
Well, then we met at a little coffee shop, and the first thing I did, especially living in Los Angeles for a long time, was cast her chart. I want to make sure I wasn't getting into something that was not very compatible. And once I cast the Vedic chart, I went, "Oh, my God, this is great. We were really compatible, and we are."
Mm.
So, and then a couple years later, we elected to have a little child. We sat around in the same coffee shop and picked a good time to conceive our child.
Yeah, he's 5 now. He's got the best little chart. Jeff's always saying, "Oh, man, I'm on his chart. He's got, like, the easy life. My chart is hard."
Well,
I got to be honest, Jeff. As far as astrology is concerned, it's an area that I don't think Ghostly Talk's covered that much, much less as far as us studying it that much. So, I mean,
yeah.
You cover a lot of stuff as far as astrology is concerned. And a lot of these things I've never even heard of as far as Vedic. Did I pronounce it right? Vedic?
Well, actually, it's called Vedic. But let me clarify something as long as we're speaking on a public issue here.
Mm-hmm.
The real name for that is called Jyotish. And in India, if you went to India, they would say you'd go see a Jyotish astrologer. And Jyotish actually means the science light of the soul. And Chakrapani actually coined the phrase Vedic astrology in the 70s. Prior to that, it was never even known. So it's really kind of a pop term. Vedic meaning from the Vedas, the ancient Vedas. But what I like about that astrology is it's completely different than what we use in the West, especially modern astrology. And it really does look at the path of the soul, and it takes into account that we are spiritual beings having a physical experience, and that it's so accurate it's creepy. I mean, you can actually see exactly when your life shifts energetically. And on the subject of possession, they, meaning the ancient Vedic scriptures, refer to the fact that the planets are really Caesars of the aura. And that we come here in these bodies having this physical experience, and as the what they call dosha systems change and the transits change in your chart, there's literally astral beings, call them angels, call whatever you want, that actually kind of join you to experience whatever it is that you kind of signed up to experience.
Mm-hmm.
Not too different than the Matrix. It's just I think this might be the real one.
Okay. And that explains Vedic. Of course, I can't pronounce anything correctly anymore. I expected myself to be wrong. That's why I asked you. Is this how you pronounce it? Because I can't ever do
right,
it.
Right.
It sounds, you also mentioned Kabbalistic astrology too.
Yeah, Kabbalistic astrology, right?
I knew you said that one wrong.
That one's a lot more elusive because the problem with Kabbalistic astrology is if you start combing the shelves of the modern bookstores, you won't find much on that one.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff's really old. I got into astrology in the 70s. My mother had this uncanny ability of saying, Jeffrey, that girl's not going to work for you. And I'm going, okay. And then she would say things that were just way too accurate for a mother to know. And then I said, how the heck are you doing this? And she started showing me, I think around 73. Is when I first got exposed to it. And then right around 76, 77, I was really into it with her. And then she passed away in 1988. And it was just a journey from the 70s forward. But I found that most of the modern astrology is what I call love, light, and cluelessness. It's okay, but it's not really... it's really fragmented. The real goods is pre-1700. When you start getting into the old court astrologers back, and that's really what is Kabbalistic astrology, because the Kabbalah is very secret. You cannot find much stuff out. But the way it's done astrologically is just, it's so accurate. It's amazing. Like for instance, you guys, I was looking at your website earlier, very nice website, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. And I like what you guys do because I really, if it wasn't for my wife, I probably would be a complete hermit. But thank God I've got her because she actually gets me out there and makes me do radio shows and things.
Mm-hmm.
But what is interesting is I've never advertised, and yet I've always had a lot of business, especially living in Beverly Hills. A lot of people in the entertainment business want to use something called electional astrology, and you mentioned it as electrical, and I thought that was good.
Oh, my God, it is electional. My God, am I so...
Well,
all right,
it's
okay.
Really simple. What it means is electing a specific time at which to commence an act.
Yeah.
And what's amazing about this is how far back it goes. I have a whole library of ancient documents translated out of Hebrew, Aramaic, Coptic. There's some Egyptian, German. And the interesting thing is Baghdad was a real huge cultural center of astrology back, you know, it's ancient Babylonia there. And when it comes to clearing houses, I have been approached a number of times to help clear houses. And I got to tell you one quick story.
No problem.
There was a lady who had come to me. She was seeing someone at an ashram on some yoga, and she was having a lot of problems. And I was teaching over at this yoga center, Vedic astrology, and she was referred to me, and she came in all white and nervous. She goes, I've got this huge problem. I said, well, what's the problem? And she says, well, I've had 11 maids quit our house, and they had a mansion up in Bel Air. And I said, okay. And immediately when she starts breaking her mind about that, I cast a chart. And then she brought her husband by, and I found out that he's a judge, and he was a judge in Beverly Hills. I can't mention who he was, but he said, you know, I thought my wife was crazy and all these maids until I started hearing it myself. And there was this weird yelping in the house and crying, and the little kids were noticing it too. So they agreed to go stay in a hotel, and I said I would clear it. But the methods that I use with the old astrology is first through horary answering a question. I verified that it, in fact, was haunted, and it looked like it was a disincarnate soul. And then upon further research, we found out that the Firestone company, the people that owned Firestone, had at one time built this place.
Ooh.
A long time ago. It was part of their estate. It was divided up since then, but it was divided up.
Mm.
And, you know, Bel Air is kind of a kind of got some nice real estate, if you know.
Oh,
you
know, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, this place wasn't too far from where Ronald Reagan lived.
Mm.
And anyways, long story short, afterwards it apparently became a brothel. And then after that, there was a bunch of animals, they said, that were there, and there was a lot of cruelty done to them. Well, if you get into the old Kabbalistic magic, they say that thoughts are things, and thought forms and elementals also form in a place, and they attract entities. So the old Kabbalistic method of clearing is you have to have an astrological energy at the time that you commence clearing a property, or sending, if you want, a disincarnate back into the light and clearing a lot of elementals. And this place was really thick. I had actually used nitric acid to break it up in cups all around. That's kind of an old method that a lot of people use, because it kind of slices the astral. And I had the hardest time clearing this place. And you have to do it when the astrology, when the eastern horizon is kind of complex, and I don't want to bore you on a radio show, but it basically has to be done so that the moon is separating from malefics and applying to benefics, and of course the fourth house, which rules properties and homes, has to be well aspected. And I'm not saying that people can't clear a place without these energies, but it's kind of like having the wind at your back. And it went pretty well. It actually got cleared. I found a number of places like that. Up in Burbank, I had an apartment complex where there was a suicide, and she was still there. I have one place, and I'm glad I did it at a good astrological time, because they were literally, I could hear them. They were laughing at me. They were literally, you know, someone listening to this might think I'm crazy, but I could actually hear them on the astral making fun of me, thinking, you know, who are you to think you can do this?
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a white flash right down on my left leg, on the left side of my leg, and then they were gone. And it took almost 40 minutes of Kabbalistic techniques to get rid of them. I was doing some banishing and sealing rites, and I knew I had a window of time before I lost the astrological aspect. And
well,
it worked pretty good.
Well,
and people listening might say, oh, this is, you know, how do you know? Well, the owner told me. Right afterwards, he was able to lease it, and he had no more problems in there. It's consistent problems. Nobody wanted to rent it.
Well, what's interesting, Jeff, is that, you know, you're talking about clearing houses. This is essentially, I mean, this isn't what we do as far as our studies are concerned, but we study the paranormal. We go to houses that are, you know, or businesses, properties, wherever it may be, that are supposedly haunted, and we try to investigate this thing and try to get some type of evidence on that. And you're doing the same essential type thing, but you're doing it from another angle. What I found interesting is that you were talking about all these things that had to come together to make a clearing, for example, happen, right? It isn't just, and this is what I've seen. okay? And I'm sure we've all seen this sitting in this studio right now, or you guys have seen it yourselves. You know, the psychic, and I say that with quotes around around it, right? The word psychic comes in there, and I've actually witnessed things like this where, you know, okay, spirit, you don't need to be here, so go to the light. Go to the light. Go. Come on. Go to the light. You know, right? And they're like sending him away, like you'd send away a puppy or something like that, right? And then, you know, me being as sensitive as this microphone in front of me, right, as far as my psychic abilities, I go, okay, that's cool. Did you send the light? Yes, I did, Scott. They're gone. They're happy now. Well, good. Okay. I can walk home with a smile on my face. But, and I mean, that was all it was. They just came in there and cleared the place, and that was, we went to Denny's. And that's all it was, right? But the way, what you're alluding to, though, Jeff, is that there's a lot more that has to come together to make something like that happen. I mean, you went through just a couple
effective,
of.
Effective, yeah.
Yeah. You went through just
effective. And I also have found that people's charts, like there's certain cycles, particularly using the Vedic astrology, where you can clear a place, but they're not following the place, they're following the person. They could be attached to their auras. See, everybody has heard about Tantra, or a lot of people have, and Sting and Trudy seem to have made that one pretty popular with the, you know, the tantric sex. But in India, if you go to see a tantric, that's a tantric priest, they're really into some very high magic. Mm-hmm. And it's sacred, holy magic. And that's the same thing with the Kabbalah is. And if you get into a lot of the medieval stuff, which I think is some of it's pretty damn dangerous. The whole, that's again fragmented Kabbalah, and it's really close to what's going on in India. These older cultures, once you get way back, you know, pre the Christian Church, kind of clamping down on all this information, it was well known and well documented. I mean, I have just tons of information on this, and it's really amazing what you can do. I've had people wear certain, see, these spirits are mathematical prints, some of them, and it's hard to differentiate between disincarnate spirits. There's various different hierarchies. There could be, you know, elementals. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because I find it's split out there. There's a lot of people running around with cameras and meters and things looking for, you know, some type of physical evidence.
Mm.
And then there's people out there, they don't even need it. You know, it's like, you know, it sounds like you might be one of those where, you know, you don't need verification. It's now let's just do the work and get it done.
Mm.
And, you know, that's kind of where I'm at. And the old stuff is I got to say, way better. It's just like the same thing in astrology. Modern astrology, to me, most of it is not very good. It's not very accurate. I'm not saying it doesn't have some value. It's just if you get into the old stuff, if you get into some of the old court astrologers,
and, mm-hmm.
It's pretty amazing stuff. It's a really formidable tool. I've used it for businesses opening, grand openings, contracts. I do a lot of people in the film business and a lot of entertainers. One I get a lot is, you know, I've got to go do a film with such and such director, and he's a tyrant. How do I make it better? Well, we look at their location and then where they're going to be at, and then I have them either sign the contract or commence the journey at a specific time to go do what they're going to do, and invariably they come back saying it worked better.
Well, go ahead, Jeff. I'm sorry.
Well, just I've had also a number of cases where people get irritated and say, oh, this is too much screwing around. I can't deal with this. And I would tell them, well, don't go on this day, and they did anyways. And then they came back and just said it was horrible. it's not my genius or anything. It's just if anybody learns these ancient techniques, you know, currently people are calling it traditional or classical astrology, but I've got some really cool old texts and this stuff. I've been using it for years, and I'm telling you, it works. It's really amazing.
Doug, are you still hiding back there?
Oh, yes, I'm listening like crazy. You know, there is one thing. Bonnie might remember this. There was a book. See, here's the thing with astrology, and we haven't covered it much on Ghostly Talk, and that's because, like you were saying, Jeff, the modern astrology is sort of a bit of a letdown. You know, you read it in the newspaper every day. It's in the newspaper, oh, and it says, you know, you're going to... And, yeah, and it's written for billions of people or whatever. Now, I did indeed I used to listen to a show on a local show on a radio station, and it had to be one of the most popular shows ever. I mean, the lines were always full. You could never get through. Everybody, their first thing they'd say is, I've been trying for weeks to get through onto your show, right? And they canceled that show. And this lady helped how many, tens of thousands of people, and they canceled her show, and I felt mm-hmm. so bad, because she was really good at it and really interesting. So I know there's a difference, but there was one book that really convinced me, and that was the one that, Bonnie, I think you actually bought it. Do you remember we were at your house, and there's that book, and it had two different kinds of astrology that it put together.
Yeah, it compares your regular charts with your Chinese charts.
That was it. And that thing was so...
What was that, Jeff? What was that, Jeff?
Accurate.
I say Chinese astrology, real Chinese astrology is really complex.
Well, this was a really decent treatment. I think that whoever did this book, obviously they had to do very general charts. It wasn't specific per person, but they did it fairly general. However, I read my bit, and it was it was a good treatment. It was, many pages per, whatever you had to look up to learn about yourself. And it was so darn accurate that it turned my head. I'm like, wow, there really is something about this astrology that I need to start paying attention to. And then I, sort of went off on ghosts and Bigfoot and UFOs. But there really is something to it, and that turned my head. Bonnie, what did you think of that book? I mean, is there something to that? Would it help you if somebody could cast, do your charts and things and use these ancient
techniques? I have that book. I know which one you're talking about.
It's amazing.
Right now on my shelf, yeah. Yeah, personally, I'm not really into most of the books I read in the 20th century or 21st century, I should say, is kind of, it's just all just trying to make a name for themselves, because there, if you go back, I'm not saying there isn't some good books, and there is, but man, I'll tell you, if you saw some of the richness of the old Kabbalistic stuff and the Vedic stuff too, it's just. See, the problem with modern astrology is they're using natal charts and birth charts exclusively, and they're using modern rulerships. And that's the problem, because any astrologer who's doing ancient techniques is using probably several techniques to evaluate something. Like, for instance, there's something called interrogatory astrology. When somebody, like, here's a good example about horary. There was a CBS movie just done about this, and I've been possibly looking at a script on this. But I met a lady who was from Kansas who had come to California at the Esalen Institute to take a class. Well, she was in a bad relationship and a bad marriage. And her boyfriend had done a session with me, and she had met this new guy who was now her boyfriend, and she was planning on getting a divorce. Well, she called me up, and I did a session with her and her ex-husband, they were getting a divorce at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then she called me another time and was very concerned. She says, am I going to be able to get through this divorce, get the custody of my daughter, and be with my new guy? And I said, no, you're not. And I'll get to my point in a second. Had I been using her birth chart to deduce that, I couldn't have come up with that. See, ancient astrologers use things called horary, which means when you don't need a birth chart. You just ask a question, and literally you cast a chart for the moment, but they have to be in sacred space. Sacred space means it has to be something screaming in the consciousness that's important to you.
Mm-hmm.
Vedic astrologers call it prashna. Prashna is spelled P-R-A-S-N-A. And it's amazing tools. Well, I told her not only was she not going to get a divorce and not marry the new guy, that she was in grave danger. And I told her to be very careful. Well, 3 months later, her boyfriend called up in San Diego. She was in Kansas and said she was just murdered. And I said, well, I'm not surprised. And
he said, the police won't tell me how. So again, I cast the chart right at that moment, and I said it was with a knife, and it was extremely brutal. He jumped on the plane, flew to Kansas, and sure enough, the police told her it was just a hideous, I mean, it was a hate crime. And, you know, that guy bought some karma. And it was her ex-husband. And then he evaded the FBI and the police for nearly a year. And I had her best friend calling me saying, I don't think he's ever going to get caught. And her best friend was babysitting the four-year-old, bless that little kid's heart, and the chart showed he was definitely going down. He was going to get busted, and nobody thought he was going to. And he did. And now he's doing life plus 20. See, now, if I was using modern astrology with birth charts, you can't get that. It just, you know, as far as astrology goes, the techniques have digressed over the last 100 years a lot. I'd say actually over the last 300 years.
Jeff, unfortunately, I hate to do this, we are at the top of the hour. We do have to cut off. Oh, geez, don't kill us. We had to pack so much into this last hour. We're going to have you guys come back on again because this has just been a fascinating hour from both you, Camille, and Jeff. So thank you guys for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
All right.
Hang on.
What's their websites again?
Oh, the website is it's simply www. jeffharmon.com. Again, that's www.
Harmon with an A.
Yeah, Harmon with an A. Very good. Harmon with an A. HARMAN.com. It'll be linked up to the Ghostly Talk site, like everybody who comes on the show, who's nice enough to come on the show, is. So, guys, hang on the line for 1 second. Don't leave us just yet, okay?
Okay.
Guys, next week we're not going to be broadcasting. We got to make this quick because it's like really late. We're like going blown
right
by
8 o'clock.
We're not going to be broadcasting next week. We're going to be at the Ghost World Conference. There'll be all kinds of goodies up on the site, though, after that, so hang tight. That's it. We're out of here.
That's it?
This has been Ghostly Talk.
Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to thank everybody for
listening.
Leave
it to Doug.
I don't want to thank everybody for listening.
Thanks.
I do.
Thanks, and good night.
I don't want to thank you for anything, Doug, all right?
Okay, good night.
All right,
everybody.
Yeah, guys, have a great week, guys. We'll see you all at the Ghost World Conference also.
Yes.
Hopefully we'll see all you guys there.
I may see two of you, but I'll see you.
Have a great week.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
Corrupt, I listen to now.
We'll make it ourselves.
Don't hate the media. Become the media.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
Don't hate the media, become the media.